Amen. Say, hold out, don't give up. Your help is on the way. Your help is on. It's not here yet because it's not time, and he's an on-time God. But it's on the way. So hold out. Learn what you need to learn while you're going through, but hold out. Your deliverance has come, but until then, hold out. See, God won't deliver us from the lesson. So hold out. Your help is on the way. Giving glory and honor to God for his goodness and his mercies to our pastor. Thank you for allowing me to stand in your preaching spot. I pray that God will continue to give you the strength, that he will continue to crown your head with wisdom, that he will continue to pour out his spirit upon you as you continue to teach us what thus saith the Lord. Yes. To my brothers and sisters, it's good to see you. God bless you. To my wife, my good thing. And my kids in the back, thank you for your love. Thank you for your support. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Reading from verse 34 through to verse 40. Matthew chapter 22. And it reads thus, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And love thy neighbor as thyself. From this passage of scripture, I want to speak to you this morning briefly on the topic. It's all about love. It's all about the love of God and the love of people. It's all about the love for God and the love for people. It's all about love. Heavenly Father, even now, I'm in need. As the songwriter say, I need thee, oh. I need thee every hour. I need thee. Even now, I need thee. So bless me now, my Savior, as I come to thee. Have thy way, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's all about love. It's fair to say that we're living in a world when the word love is often used and the meaning varies from person to person. It varies from situation to situation. It's a time when the phrase love is love is often heard and spoken in a manner that attempts to justify the means by which people desire to live. It is a time when my I love you doesn't mean the same as yours, even when we're addressing the same thing. It's a time when the word love is often used to influence, it's used to encourage, it's used to manipulate others in order to allow selfish desires to be fulfilled. And somewhere along the lines, we all have been victims and so-called victors. It's in this time that we become so confused about what love actually is. And as I listen to a few songs, I can hear the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of what is viewed as love. We were encouraged to stand up and join the caravan of love. But we also heard the contemplation, what love got to do with it. I've heard some that ask the question that if love is so nice, tell me why it hurt so bad. I've heard some that say money in my pocket, but I just can't get no love. I've heard some that say it must be love, but it's over now. I've heard some that say if loving you is wrong. Sound like everybody know that one. It say it's loving you is wrong. I don't want to be right. I've heard song that said I want to be loved not for who you think I am or who you want me to be. It's a real love with no strings attached. I want to give you my heart and I don't want to take it back. But I notice in their own way, they are all expressing a desire. At the core of all of us is a longing and a yearning for real love. Whether you realize it or not, at the core of us, love we seek, love we desire, love we wish to be loved, we love to give love. But how can we receive and how can we give if we really have no understanding of what love really is? Then it begs us to ask the question, what are we giving? What are we receiving? What have we been given? What have we been receiving? What have we been labeling as love if we seem to be so confused as to what love really is? So in our text, Jesus can be seen in the midst of these religious leaders who were taking their turn in their attempt to trap him. But even though their intent were not pure, this was and is an excellent question. Even though their intent were not pure, even though they were attempting to discredit Jesus, for what it is worth, it is good for us that the question was asked. It is good that we might have Jesus' answer on such a relevant subject. What is the great commandment in the law? When we think of the law consists of over 600 commandments. In these 600, it fills with do's and don'ts. There are things that God tells us that we ought to do. And there are things that he tells us not to do. So in that, over 600 is filled with these do's and these don'ts. He said, but one is just like the other. And nobody tells me that we can't love God without loving people. And we can't love people without the love of God in us. And if we love, if the love of God is in us, we can't help ourselves but loving people. He said, with one comes the other. They are tied in together. If the love of God is in me, I shouldn't be able to help myself but to love people. And I can't love people without the love of God living on the inside of me. But I notice in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, Paul instructs us to walk in love, saying that be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So Paul connects the ability to walk in love with who we are. He said, be followers of God as dear children and walk in. And not only did he tell us to walk in it, not only did he tell us about our ability and how he connects it, but he also gives us who our example is. He said, as Christ has, so should we. So Christ is our example, but how can we walk in the thing that we don't understand? How can we intentionally walk in the thing that we are confused about? You see, our confusion shows up in the way that we treat each other. Our confusion shows up in the way that we treat each other. That we have no idea, that we have no understanding of what love really is. You see, the God who created us, the God who knows every intricate fiber of our being, made love the most significant commandment of all. He said, love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, everything that you got, and love your neighbor as yourself. But how can we truly carry out God's commandment of love without knowing what love actually is? He didn't say stumble into it. Paul said walk in it. He didn't say accidentally. He said deliberately, intentionally, walk in love. But how can we walk in it if we have no clue as to what love? So the first question that needs to be answered, what is love? What is love? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Without knowing that, what? How can I walk? Without knowing what love is, how can I be intentional? Without knowing what love is, how can I be deliberate in my approach? Not just to people, but to God. So the question is, what is love? You see, love is often described as the warm, fuzzy feeling that gives us butterflies. When our bodies are saying, I am motivated to do something or to see somebody again. But love, but how can that be the definition of love when Jesus told me to love my enemies?
So it tells me that love is not just a warm, fuzzy feeling. It tells me that love is a choice. The love is not just butterflies in your stomach. Ooh, I'm attracted to the, ooh, I like this person. But love is a choice. Because there's nothing warm and fuzzy about loving my enemies. There's nothing warm and friendly about the way I'm supposed to treat my enemies. But God said, love your enemies. So how can I love my enemies when everything within me is telling me not to treat them with compassion? When everything within me is telling me not to forgive? How can I love my enemies when everything within me is telling me to treat them like they treat me? So love is more than just a feeling. Love is a choice. And we are living in a society that we are just caught up in feelings. And we forget about the choice. God didn't tell me to like you. He didn't tell me I gotta like you. But he told me I gotta love you. So can you love somebody that you don't like? So whether I like you or not, I got to love you. But what is love? What is this love thing? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it tells us that he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And there's two words that from in the Greek that is used in this text. He that loveth, the word is used is agapeo. And when it comes to he that, for he who love God, for God is love rather, that word is agape. So when I look, so when I begin to look into this and start to look at the word that is being used, agape is a noun. A noun is used to identify people. Come on, I know I have some English majors in the house. But it also, but the agapeo is a verb. It is the action. It is a state. Is or the occurrence are forming the predicate of the sentence. So because there is the agape, now you're able to agapeo. Because the love that comes from God is within you. Now you're able to agapeo. Now you're able to put into action that which God has placed on the inside. So when I say you can't love God without loving people. And if, in order to love people, the love of God has to be in you. So now you're agapeo out of the agape. So I'm loving you because God is in me. I'm loving you. I'm not liking you. I'm loving you. It's the difference. I'm making choices. It's not based on just how I feel, but I'm making choices because God has commanded me to love you. And because he had commanded me to love you, then I got to love you. So love is not just a feeling. It is also a choice. John chapter 13, verse 34, he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love, that you agapeo one another, as I have agapeo you, that ye love. So he said, I'm not telling you to do something that I haven't done for you. I am telling you to do what I have done. Because what, and you may say, well, they don't deserve it. He said, why, you were undeserving. I did it for you. Even though I did it before you were even born, but even if I was going to do it right now, you wouldn't have told me no. So why wouldn't we give to others what God has so graciously given to us? He said, as I have loved you, so you ought to love one another. But how do I love God? John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep. If you love me, keep my commandment. It's not just a directive. It is a measuring stick. It's not just an instruction, but it is used to measure whether or not you really love God. It is used to measure to see if you mean what you say and say what you mean. It's easy to say we love God, but where is the evidence? Are we walking in obedience to his word? Because that is the evidence that we love him. It's not about what we say. It's about what, I mean, you ought to tell somebody. But it's not just about what I say. What I do have to correspond with what I say to show that I love God. So he said, if you love me, keep my commandment. John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandments are not grievous. So he instructs us to love God, to love our neighbors. But how can we love God if we don't know our neighbors, if we don't know what love is? So you say, you love me by keeping my commandment. You love me by being walking in obedience to my word. But how do I love my neighbors? It's easy to say I love God, but when it comes to my neighbors, because some of us have some neighbors that gets on your last nerves. They don't have nothing good to say, and everything they do seems to be just to irritate you. But how do you love them? The scripture tells us that love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long suffering. That means love suffer for a long. Even when there seems to be unwilling to change, you still have to. It is so, I don't want to say funny, but God has been so patient with us. The Bible says he is long-suffering towards us. That means to me that we have God suffering for a long time. For a long time, he has been desiring for us to turn from our wicked ways. For a long time, he has been patiently waiting for us to accept Christ as our Savior. For a long time. But when it comes to somebody else, we want everything to happen. Oh, they better change now. They better be good now. They better be kind now. But the same thing that God has done for us, the same thing he has done for you, the same thing he has done for me, I have to do it for somebody else. So he instructs us to love our neighbor. So love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. So how well are we loving our neighbors? How well are you loving the person who you know don't like you? How well are you loving the person who you know went out their way time and times again to bring you harm? How is your love for the person that you don't like? For the person you know hates you? The person that is your enemy? He said, by this the world will know that you are mine, that you are my disciples, the way you love people. So we can't be so full of love with our words, but when push comes to shove, there is no evidence that we are really loved. There's no evidence that we are connected with the God that we say we are connected. Because if we are connected to God, then out of our connection with God will flow love. So Romans 13 verse 10, it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Love. It's all about love. So when we talk about love, there are different types of love. You know, we talk about the agape, that is God, love of God. And when we talk about how we respond, the way we respond to that love is called agapeo. But it also, there's a love called storge. That is family love. Like a love for a parent for a child. And there is filio. We know that for us with Philadelphia, city of brotherly. So filio is brotherly love. And then there is another one that we often use, but it's not really found in the Bible. It's called eros. See, eros is commonly used in the Greek-speaking world of the New Testament times. It refers to sensual or romantic love. So there's these different type of love, but each one is unique to a certain type of relationship. So within each relationship, there are boundaries that can't be crossed in your expression of love. And when we cross those boundaries, it is no longer love. See, love has a confinement compound. Love has barriers. Love has dimensions. And it's all connected to the essence of who God really is. And so when we find ourselves violating God's laws, when we find ourselves violating people, we can't bring the label of love and place on our actions when it has overstepped the boundaries that God has placed upon love, the essence of who he is. So I can't make love to somebody else's wife. That's not love. Any act that you're committing and it's a sin, it's not love. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. It doesn't matter how I feel about it. It doesn't matter how much butterflies are in your stomach. It doesn't matter how excited you get about it. Once we have overstepped the boundaries of what God has said, then it no longer carries that label. So you can label it whatever you want. But if God is not the essence of it, then it cannot be labeled as love. So how many times have we overstepped and try to drag a label over the boundaries that doesn't fit, that can't fully describe the actions, can't fully describe our behavior, can't fully describe our mannerism, because we have overstepped the boundaries of what love really is. So love has a confinement compound. Love is found in the essence of who God is. And if God is not the author of it, if God doesn't approve it, it's not love. So the actions that we take, the choices that we make are key indicator of whether or not we really love. So I heard Tony Braxton say, love should have brought you home. Last night. So what she's saying is because you say you love, there are some actions that you should have taken. Because you say you love, there should have been some restraint. Because you say you love, there are some boundaries that you're unwilling to cross. Because you say you love, there is an expectation on the table. There are things that I expect you to do. There's the thing that I don't expect you to do. Because you say that you love. So Percy Sledge said, when a man loves a woman, there are some things that he's gonna do. His love caused him to take certain actions. His love caused him to go in a certain direction. His love becomes the driving force behind what he does. It becomes the driving force behind what he says. Love. But love is sacrificial. It requires sacrifice That talk about that neighbor that's hard to love, but you have to sacrifice. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved." Because he so loved the world that he gave. He took action. Because he so loved the judgment that should have been ours. Because he so loved, he didn't kill us in our sin. Because the wages of sin is death. But because God so loved, grace and mercy became our portion. Because God so loved, despite of what we have done, regardless of the things we have gotten into, because God so loved. So how dare us refuse to love because we think somebody is not worthy or is not deserving? How can we hold back what God has so graciously given to us? How can we hold that back for someone else? So love is sacrificial. Love is a challenge. See, ain't no sacrifice without a challenge. If it's not challenging, it ain't a sacrifice. And he tells us to offer our bodies a living, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable. What he's saying is that that's the least you can do for what I have done for you. After everything that I have done, that's the least that you can. And this is the thing. Because when someone say they love us, we have some expectations. We have some expectation. The same thing for God. God said, offer your bodies, offer yourself a living sacrifice. That is the least that you can do for what I have done for you. So he's calling us to sacrifice our feeling and love him. He's calling us to sacrifice our feelings and keep his commandment. He's calling us to sacrifice our feeling and love our neighbors. He's calling us to sacrifice the way we feel despite of how people treat you. You have to love them anyway. He didn't say like them. He said, but you have to love them. So when Jesus said, these are the greatest commandment in the law, he summarized it in two. He said, love the Lord God and love your neighbor as yourself. He's saying that we have a love issue. At the core, at the essence of it all, is the fact that we have a love issue. At the core of it all is an issue with our hearts. And so that's why God desires to change our hearts. Because if you know that if he can change our hearts, because out of our hearts flows all the issues of life. So if God can get in our heart, if he can bring about a change in our heart, then out of the changed heart will flow our love for him. Out of the changed heart will flow a love for people. And then the world will see that he is real. The world will see that we are his. The world will come to glorify him. But when they don't see what we say, out of our heart flows all the issues of life. So if God can get in our heart, if he can get into that crooked place and make it straight, if he can get into that hardened heart and make it soft for him, if he can get into those places that we're trying to cover up and protect,
love. It's all about love. So when we get this love thing right, we will be obedient. When we get this love thing right, there will be a change in the world. When we get this love thing right, more people will start to realize that He is real. When we get this love thing right, God will be seen. God will be glorified. When we get this love thing right. He said, by this the world will know that you are my disciples. So what the world need now is it really love, sweet love. But it is the love that comes from the Almighty God. The world needs it. The world needs it. And if we say we have it, why aren't we giving it? And if you don't have it, you ought to get it. Because when you get it, you can't help but giving it. So yeah, what the world needs now is love, sweet love, but it is the love of God. So what love got to do with it? Everything. Everything. It's all about love. What love got to do with it? Everything. It's all about love. All the laws, all the prophets are hinged on love. On love. So it is everything. So if we ever get this love thing right, if we ever get this love thing right, because people are looking for love. People are looking for real love. And real love can only be found in God. So if we ever get this love thing right, if we ever get God down on the inside of us, if we ever allow God to be our guide, so yes, we ought to join the caravan of love. Yes, we all ought to get on this love train. But it better be the love of God. It gotta be the love train that comes from the Almighty God. We need love. I needed it. That's why God provided it. Somebody else needed it. That's why He gave it to you so you can give it. But the issue we, some of us treat love like we treat our wealth. Want a whole, we want it all for ourselves. You want to have it all, but the neighbor next door is starving. You want to have $1 million in your account, but the person on the street ain't got nowhere to sleep. That's how we treat love. Unfortunately, if we have it, we shouldn't be able to help ourselves, but to give it. Because that's why He gave it to us. He gave it not just for us, but that someone else may see and that they may come to glorify Him. He gives you that it may draw somebody else to Him. Are you drawing anybody else to Him with the way you love? Are you drawing anybody else to Him with the way you treat people? Are you drawing anybody else to Him with the way you live? Is love flowing from your heart?
It's all about love. It is why Jesus came. It is why the Father offered him as a sacrifice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For God so loved the world that he gave.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus.
And because you so love God,
thank you, Jesus.
We ought to love
yes, sir.
Somebody else. God bless you.